beginning at verse number 6, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I found that verse personally enlightening, encouraging, but also re-energizing. Reading Peter's epistle to the Christians today, as it was in the first century, is very, very powerful. There's strong evidence that Peter was martyred by crucifixion in Rome. Some traditions even say that his wife was crucified or put to death the same time before Peter. And he encouraged her in her death to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Tradition says that he felt so unworthy to be crucified like his Lord that he begged to be crucified upside down. Before his death, he penned this epistle. It's a letter that talks to us concerning the challenges that we as Christians are going to face, even in the midst of sometimes death. It is a fact that many Christians of the first century gave the ultimate sacrifice for their faith in Jesus Christ, their very lives. As we prepare to close out this quarter, sowing faith to the next generation, anticipatorily, I'm looking forward to the quarter number 3. Who would have thought that this church would be thrust in such a moment as we now find ourselves, where our faith is being challenged as it is? Persecution can cause one to either grow or be bitter. Response determines the result. In writing to the believers struggling in the midst of persecution, Peter encourages the proper response. He encourages the proper response. They are to conduct themselves, first of all, courageously and above reproach. 4 times in the course of this letter, really 5 times in every chapter of this epistle, he speaks directly to suffering. I understand that suffering that they were going through did not suggest that they were being imprisoned or tortured. Rather, it seemed that these individuals in their Christian walk were beginning to rasp, chafe, find themselves wearing down under unexpected resentment, intolerance, slander, as they took their stance for Christ. He wanted to reassure the Christians that they were blessed when they were able to stand and share in the suffering of Christ. Suffering. Number one, is part of God's plan. Suffering is part of God's plan for the Christian. Trials are part of our walk with Christ. That's why in this sixth verse he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Now that's King James, but the meaning is, though you be in a situation causing you grief, causing you sorrow, through manifold temptation, through various adversities. Adversities is part of the Christian life. The fact that you and I are involved in a trial that brings about suffering is part of God's plan. Listen to him. Listen to Peter in the second chapter. Beginning at verse number 19, he says, for this is thankworthy. This is thankworthy. He's simply saying this is commendable. This is pleasing in the sight of God. If a man for conscience toward God, I like the way that he said, who has conscience toward God. You know what that simply means? That means that God is present in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the suffering. God is present. And you have to have a consciousness of that. We must endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, this is a depiction of Christ. And this is what he went through. But notice he says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted or punished for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this, whether you do it, I don't want to do a lot of commentary, but in other words, to be punished, you and I must take it patiently because this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, God says, Peter says, you were called to this life because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, a pattern that we should follow in his steps. Listen to chapter 3, verse number 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers, which simply means to be eager to follow that which is good. If ye be followers, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But watch this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. But watch this, but do it with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good conduct in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Listen to him in chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, I wish I could preach. But I want Peter to talk to you. If ye be reproached, that word reproach means if you be insulted for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's manners. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Listen to him in chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast, how? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, what God is going to accomplish among us, he's doing the same among brethren throughout the world. We're not the only ones going through suffering. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, watch him now. After that ye have suffered a while. Aren't you glad he said for a while? Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. It's part of the plan. Any man who lives godly is going to face persecution. The Bible says in Acts 14:22 that through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. Brother Gibbs, what are you saying? I'm simply saying if you're going to get pregnant and have a baby, pain going to come with it. I mean, it just comes with the territory. Now, don't write me up on that. Please don't write me up on that. I've been shot enough. I tell you, I don't need to get shot on that one. Oh, but anyway, stay with Peter. All right. The purpose of trials. Remember, it's in God's plan. But what is the purpose? He comes back and he says in verse number 7, he makes it known what these trials are all about. Notice what he says in verse number 7. He says it clearly in verse number 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Two things he does here. First of all, he contrasts our faith with gold. Listen to me. He contrasts our faith with gold. Well, what was the difference between gold and our faith? Here's the difference. Gold perisheth. When you die, you don't want to have gold. Well, to be honest about it, you don't have any gold because you're sure not going to take it with you. But when you die, what you want to have is faith. And that's why it's much more precious than gold. If I got to choose between faith and gold, give me faith. And then he compares it to gold. Just like gold must go into the furnace to take off the dross and take off all the impurities, that you may be able to see gold for what gold really is. He's got to put it in fire. In the same way with our faith, he doesn't know how faithful we are. He doesn't know how much faith we have until he puts it in some fire. And when it goes in the fire, then he'll be able to separate all that dross, and he'll make your faith genuine. I don't know. Job understood it. Job understood. He said, I don't understand why I'm in this trouble. I don't understand why all this is happening to me. But he said, I shall come forward as pure gold. He understood that. Everything happening, he said, I'm going to come forward because my faith is going to stay where it should be. Isn't that what you want? And then, not only that, but then lastly, and I'm closing because the elders have something they want us to hear. They want us to be a part of it. But I want you to understand the purpose. There's a story that I thought was very, very beautiful that illustrates how God can turn what one believes is negative into something very positive. It says a family in India were the first to convert to Christ. Shortly after their conversion, others in the village said, the gods will go against you and you will be cursed. They were a little concerned about this. And very shortly afterward, their son became sick. You know how we are. When the child became ill, everyone said, see, the gods are punishing you for becoming Christians. The parents went to the church and said, our son is sick. Please pray for him to get well. The church prayed earnestly for the child, but the child grew worse and finally died. When they had the funeral, this was the first Christian funeral in the village. The people of the village heard the hope of the resurrection for the first time, and their eyes were opened, and many came to Christ because of the hope of the resurrection at the funeral. All things work together for good. To them who love God and who are called according to his purpose, all we need to do is, like Job, I don't know if he's on my right or on my left. I don't know, but here's what Job said. I know he knows my way. I may not see God, but God sees me. And that's what you need to understand. When you get in trouble, you may not see God, but God sees you. God's got you. God's got you. And that's what we have to say. And then the final point, there is not only a plan for trials, not only a purpose for them, but there's a perspective. And this is the perspective that he says in verse number 6. Put that on the screen again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. Watch what he says. Wherein ye greatly what? Now for a what? Now for a what? Now for a season. Church, this is just a what? Season. And what you know about a season is it's temporary. Are you with me? Though it is necessary, it is temporary. And also that it is under God's control. And so I say to us as a church, let's just be patient and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Know for a fact that what we see here and what is temporary now is going to break forth into eternal life at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stay faithful to him. Don't be afraid to call his name. Don't be afraid to say that I know my Redeemer liveth. Don't be afraid. Speak well of him. Own him. Love him. Worship him. And serve him. As Paul said, we're troubled, but we're not crushed. Frustrated, we're not giving up. Persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We've been captured, but we're not killed. Always, we always carry around the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be shown in our lives. The language that you use, the tone that you use must be that of Christ. He's a good Savior. He's a mighty good Lord. And so we're going to get through this. God is going to see us, but let's do it as Christians. And let's do it as the people of God. I invite those of you who are not Christians to become Christians. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father except he come by me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I am the life and the resurrection and the life. Though a man be dead, yet shall he live again. Let's give our lives to him. He's a mighty good Savior. This is a good time for you to give your life to Christ. Come by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism. It's for the remission of sin. Get up owning him, carrying his name, carrying his cross. Do that. And if you strayed away and you have forsaken the cross, will you come back and rededicate your life? Take up your cross and follow him. Let's do that. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
All my trials, all my cares, I can tell them to my Lord, and heal my burdens bear. Hey.